The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "To you who hear, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. To the person who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other one as well. And from the person who takes your cloak, do not withhold even your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from the one who takes what is yours, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend money to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and get back the same amount. But rather, love your enemies and do good to them, and lend expecting nothing back, then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Stop judging, and you will not be judged. Stop condemning, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
So what you have just been listening to this morning is Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount, and slightly different from the other versions in the Gospels. And so let's, for a moment, we can't go into everything that has been said in the Gospel this morning, but just I want to talk to you a little bit about forgiveness. And there are different kinds of forgiveness, and I'm hopefully in a couple of minutes be able to explain for your benefit and also for my own benefit the kind of forgiving person we ought to be. So very often when you or I forgive somebody, the other person feels a bit embarrassed, and maybe we too sometimes feel a bit embarrassed, and it can be a very cursory thing. And there's a lot to forgiveness. Very often we come across, when we forgive somebody, it's been very magnanimous and very big-hearted and maybe very condescending, and we go away feeling good. Now, I fulfill my obligation, because as a Christian, I ought to forgive, and so I've done my bit now. But what about the other person? Very often the other person feels maybe a bit demeaned and a bit inferior after they receive that kind of forgiveness. So what kind of forgiveness is Jesus talking about in the gospel this morning? Well, he's talking about forgiving somebody and about being, it's about loyalty to the truth, which is a funny way of describing forgiveness, loyalty to the truth. What do we mean by that? When you forgive somebody, loyalty to the truth of who that person is. Because very often, when a person is in need of forgiveness, they feel very bad, they have possibly self-hatred, they have a very low opinion of themselves. And so the act of real forgiveness, when Jesus forgives us, he restores our dignity and tells us, I forgive you, you're not a bad person, you're a good person. You're a good person who possibly made a mistake or did something wrong. You're a good person. And so when we forgive somebody, we got to do it in such a way as to leave that person feeling much better about oneself, rather than I going away feeling much better about myself because I have been so generous and so magnanimous in forgiving that person. Does that make sense? You know, so in other words, forgiveness and affirmation go hand in hand. And that might be a nice way of summing the whole thing up. So if you remember those two words, forgiveness is a process of affirmation, that you leave the other person feeling good about themselves. Now, getting down to, really bring it right up to the moment, I have to say to you this morning that you must be, most all of you here, you must be very forgiving people. You must be. Because you're here this morning. And before I say anything else, I want to say thank you for being here this morning. That's a wonderful and a great encouragement to me. And it's a great encouragement to each one of you. Every single person that has come in here this morning to Mass, thank you for coming, and you've been a great encouragement to everyone else by your presence here. I am, and I'm sure you, have had to think a lot about our faith recently and about what has happened in the church. And earlier this morning, the meeting in Rome was concluded, the meeting on the whole topic of child abuse and the abuse of vulnerable people. Now, I don't know what is going to come out of that meeting, perhaps not a great deal, but I've had a number of questions about it, because I was very conscious that also in Rome this week were many, many, many people who had been abused. Why were they not part of that meeting? And that's my personal opinion. Why were they not part of that meeting? It was a meeting of the various archbishops and cardinals and the heads of bishops' conferences throughout the world, all of whom, most of whom, have let the church down very badly, to the extent that my faith in the church has been shattered, absolutely shattered. So why am I standing here before you this morning? Why, after 54 years, when I could be retired, why am I still working? Why am I here this morning? For one major reason, because I love Jesus. Nothing more, nothing less. Because of my love for Jesus. That's why I'm here this morning. And that's why I will continue for as long as I like, as I can, in doing what I'm doing. Going back to what has happened recently in the church, what shattered my faith so much is the fact that the Archbishop of Washington, Cardinal McCarrick, it was a well-known fact in the church, we now know, for many years, when he was a young bishop in New Jersey and subsequently the Archbishop of Newark and then went on to Washington, that he was an abuser. He began by abusing seminarians. Safe for him, because if you're a seminarian, what can you do if you want to be a priest? So he took advantage of very vulnerable people. And he went on continuing abuse for all his time when he was in Washington and Newark and so on. We now know that it was a well-known fact. Why did somebody not do something about it? Why was he let go on for so long? There was a lady here at Mass last night, and after Mass she came and spoke to me, and she said that she worked in the White House during the time that George Bush was president, and they were great friends of McCarrick. And McCarrick was very often a visitor to the White House. She knew him. She said, "Now when I hear his name, a chill goes down my spine." She said, "I looked up to that man. I trusted him, and he totally abused my trust." Well, what can I say about that? And I feel that I looked up to people like him, and my trust has been shattered. And I just tell you something. I came back, returned on Wednesday night from Ireland, and today in Ireland, to be a priest is very, very difficult. And you feel, when somebody introduces me and say, "This is Father Dennis and he's a priest," I feel very often embarrassed, sad, but that's how I feel. I feel as a priest, wherever I go, there's a finger of suspicion pointing at me, or pointed at me. There's a question mark in most people's minds, is he one of them? Because Ireland is a very small country, and we've had an enormous abuse problem there. And so people are very conscious of that. And it's very difficult. And if you think this is just my own personal feeling, well, there are 26 dioceses in Ireland, and there's one seminary left, Maynooth College, and they now just have a handful, a mere 18 seminarians. And again, not all of them are native Irish. So there is no young person in Ireland today who wants to be a priest. And can you blame them? Why would they? Why would they? Why would they? And I have to question myself, and I'm sure Clem has done it too, to go back, would I have become a priest if I was in the kind of environment that exists today? Not only in Ireland, but in many, many places. I often wonder about that. And something that is very personal, when I am in Ireland, apart from visiting my family in various parts, I spend a lot of time with my niece and her husband. She's married and she's got two little children, two little girls. One is 3.5 and the other is 7.5. And the most wonderful thing that happened to me this time when I was at home was she said to me one day, would you do us a favor? Would you mind babysitting one night and looking after the two little ones? Because we never have a chance to go out for a night, and we don't like leaving them with anybody else. Well, it was as if she'd given me everything in the world, that she made that act of trust in me. And I felt, oh, of course I would. And I was so happy to do that. And actually, it happened twice. And isn't that sad that one should feel like that, and that act of trust? And hopefully, I don't know, but I pray that somehow or other this problem will be solved. It will never go away. McCarrick has done irreparable damage to our church. He's done irreparable damage to our church in this country. And so we're like people out on the ocean in a little boat, not knowing if we're going to survive or not. Hopefully we will. And that's why I began this morning by thanking you for being here and thanking you for your support. I just finally, how do I feel at this moment? How do I feel here this morning standing before you? I'll tell you, I feel very loved. I feel very, very loved. I feel totally accepted. And I pray that I will never in any way break that love and that trust, that I will never let you down. And as long as I'm here, I will do my best to be the person that you want me to be, but most of all, to be the person that Jesus wants me to be. Because in the final analysis, that's what keeps us all going, our love of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. So let's stand now and recite our creed.